The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is always strongly advised. And welcome to Down the Garden Path with your hosts, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing, right here on Reality Radio 101. To get on board this evening, dial 905-725-1907. Toll free in North America, 1-866-905-7325. Worldwide, 1-866-656-5477. Send us an email right now in studio101@gmail.com. And now, right to your hosts of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome, everyone. Welcome, Matthew.
Hi, Joanne.
Welcome to Down the Garden Path, where each week we discuss down-to-earth tips and advice for our plants, gardens, and landscapes. As gardeners, and even more so as landscape designers and horticulturalists, we think it's important and possible to have a great garden, to have great gardens that are low maintenance. And we do our best each week to bring you interesting, relevant, and helpful topics that can help you and each other with our gardens and yards. And there's always no shortage of things to talk about.
No, never.
And so we've started this monthly topic of July in the, so this month it's July in the garden,
yeah.
Right? Because things change all the time.
Always.
So we thought we would talk every month, have a special episode dedicated to what's happening in the garden in July.
In the month.
This happens to be July. But before we get into that, I was telling Matthew, I started that segment last week about what's happening in my garden.
Mm-hmm.
And we also want to find out what's happening in your garden as well. And we also want to hear what's happening in the front lines at the garden center and kind of what questions on people's minds. We have a few segments for you to talk about before the break, and then we'll head into our July in the garden. So my garden, I did post a couple pictures on social media today. It's looking a bit better than last week. I was saying how less in bloom everything is because everything's still waiting for some heat.
Yeah.
And so I did, even as I was getting in the car, I took a picture of my quick fire hydrangeas. So they are starting to really come in finally. Limelights are really nowhere to be found. Yeah. And my Annabelles, they're sturdy stemmed. I've raised them to be sturdy stemmed, but they're so sopping wet that they're still laying on my yew hedge, which needs trimming, which is one of the things we'll talk about after the break. So my garden's, looking okay. It's definitely in transition. As I'm kind of renovating a few areas, so in my spare time, which is not very much right now, I did kind of attack my purple smoke bush was really getting out of hand. So now it's a purple smoke tree, so you can get a picture of what I've done to it. It had a lot of smoke this year, and I'm not usually one to like that. I usually cut it off.
Yeah.
Because I quite like that for the color and the foliage. but not so much the smoke. But this year it happened before I got a chance. What do you think of the smoke?
Yeah, and you know what? I was looking around the smoke bush. I actually quite like the smoke, but I noticed this year a lot more smoke is on the smoke tree.
Yeah,
it seems a lot more consistent and fuller. So.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's just something just, likes the water that we've been getting, right? The cooler temperatures.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
and
sure.
If you, our listeners, have any questions about what's happening in your garden, or you want to send us some photos. Or tell us anything. We'd love to hear it. So please, please think about that. So how about you? What's happening?
Yeah. So, I mean, I have my main garden, my home garden is a balcony garden. So this year, all I've planted out is basically a tomato, some carrots. I've just seeded my carrots.
Oh, okay.
For a fall crop.
Okay. So you've already harvested some, or?
No, I actually had something else in that space.
Oh,
I had
okay.
some green onions that have come and gone, and
okay.
I have a few left. I've moved over. I just got them from the grocery store. We were making nachos one night, so we, you know, used up all the green onions.
Oh, okay.
And, I, you know, they get the little.
Yeah, the little roots.
Little root things. Yeah, and I just poked my finger in and put them down so the green met the white and buried them back in, and they're about 2 feet tall again now.
Wow.
I'm just harvesting for fun.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so tomatoes are doing good. They're doing good. My strawberries are a little slow, and I think, again, it's kind of that sun and the heat.
Yeah.
I don't have it.
Wouldn't the strawberry be done?
I have an ever-bearing perennial
oh,
variety. So,
okay.
Yeah, all she does is flower and fruit and flower and fruit.
Okay, but no heat. Did you get a good spring harvest?
Yeah, I got a few off of them, but nothing like I'm normally used to. I mean, normally they're just covered.
Right.
Almost consistently, but now it's just, it's just kind of like a second flush coming.
Yeah.
And I think it's because of the heat
that
is there. So.
Yeah, no way. I mean, things are waiting, I think. You know, it's certainly gotten a lot of water, so
right.
I think things that like water are doing well.
Are thriving.
But I know my, I thought I bought dwarf, right out of my head. Oh my goodness, purple. Russian sage.
Oh, okay.
Russian sage. But it's pretty tall, so I don't know. So it's really gotten tall. So I don't know if it's because of the water or whether I just bought something that wasn't really dwarf. It was. I was pretty sure it was dwarf last year, but boy, it's growing tall. So it's not quite the look I was going for. But what can you do? What can you do? Have you grown peppers? Because I know my son's got that vegetable garden happening in the back, and we're finding, peppers aren't going too quickly.
No.
Cucumbers doing pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. I think the veggies are all a little behind as well because of the heat.
Yeah.
Or lack of heat.
Exactly. The cool, cloudy days.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And nights, too. We've had some cool nights.
And nights. Yeah. You don't even need the air conditioner. Just open the windows.
Yeah. In our house. Yeah,
it's nice to do in June.
Wants to do air conditioning.
Oh.
So we OD on air conditioning in our house.
So
definitely.
Mm.
And tell us about the front lines. So what kind of problems are people finding in their gardens, or what are they coming in looking for? I guess that's more positive spin on it.
Yeah.
How are you helping people?
A lot of people are coming in for more annuals. A lot of people are finding their annuals are getting too wet. They're just not flowering.
Mm.
So just making sure that they're getting fed or replacing a couple spots where it's been too wet and they have failed.
Okay.
Another kind of season right now big in is the Japanese garden beetle. Is now set into full
force. I haven't had them in the past, and I have them this year.
Yes, yeah. It's very erratic, I find, across our area. You almost just close your eyes and draw lines on the map and circles, and these places do have it. Two blocks over, there's nothing.
Okay.
People have had it for years.
And what are they looking for? Like, I know they like roses.
Yeah, they love roses, birch, hydrangea.
Hydrangea.
Yep. Yeah. We had them in the garden center out in our nursery, and there was an oak, and it was all over the oak and just littered in the hydrangeas below.
Oh, so, and now they go after the flower or the leaves?
They were eating a lot of the leaves.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And they hadn't quite just flowered yet. Kind of like this. They're just kind of coming in.
Right.
But yeah, they were after everything. And then the roses, we're finding like 20 in a flower head. Yeah, they're just eating them alive.
My goodness.
Yeah.
So what are the solutions?
Yeah, so there's two solutions that we've got. One is a product called Endol. It's pyrethrin-based. It will kill the beetles. It usually takes about 10 to 15 minutes. But
I'd say 10 to 15 days. Yeah. By then, they've eaten your plant. Then, but yeah. 10 to 15 minutes, okay. Because yeah. they're kind of hard-bodied, right?
Right. They have such a thick shell. They kind of burn, or it looks like they burn, because they suddenly become extremely active when they're very docile normally,
okay.
just feeding on the plant. But then, yeah, they're it's kind of gruesome, but they kind of explode a bit.
Okay.
And then they just die on the plant.
You got that, Gary? Yeah.
So you see that?
Is that descriptive enough?
I can't wait to video that.
I almost did. And then there's, of course, the trap.
Okay.
So there's a pheromone and a floral lure that draws them into one point and dumps them into a bin in which you then need to empty and get rid of things. So that can kind of be messy in a way that if you don't have good drainage for the trap, they just fill and they die in the water. So you want to make sure you get a trap with good drainage. But
isn't that the point, sir, that you're killing them?
Well, yeah. So they basically just die and starve
okay.
in the bag. But without the bag or the trap having a good drainage, they just become this big rotting mass of
okay.
black water, which is kind
okay.
of gross.
Okay. Okay. Now, I'm always leery of the trap because then now you are now attracting not only your own Japanese beetles, but
yes.
all the neighborhood's Japanese beetles.
Right. And so that is...
effective if you have a large property, but if you don't...
For sure. And that's kind of a myth as well.
Is it?
Right.
Oh, good. Myth-busting, Matthew.
Myth-busting. So the traps are generally made to just do the average backyard.
Okay.
So only a few thousand square feet.
Okay.
Or 1 to 2,000 square feet.
Okay.
Right. So the average front or backyard is usually what they bring in. But people are really astounded at how many there actually are because they will hide underneath the leaf as well or in flowers. So then you see where you see like one. There's usually two or three hidden nearby.
Oh, okay.
And then suddenly they're all there.
But, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So are you out of stock?
No. I've got quite a good stock. Yeah.
Okay.
And after about a week of having ours up in the garden center, we had to empty. We have four traps because we're surrounded, as you know.
Yeah.
But our listeners might not. We're surrounded by some good, wild land yet to be developed. So they're coming out of that space. And we had to empty our traps, all four of them. And we filled a small garbage bag.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's not a garbage bag, like a small grocery bag.
Okay.
Just filled with them.
Yeah. Wow.
So they are out in force for sure.
Okay. So they are like, you think they're liking the cooler temperatures?
Yeah. I'm not sure. I don't know if they're enjoying the cooler or I feel like they're a little bit behind as well, like a week or two. Because I found last year they were really late into the season. So it was like September.
Oh.
And people were still coming in. I've got Japanese garden beetles, but that's also usually their life cycle time when they drop and they lay grubs and slowly fade away.
Okay.
Right. So I think they're going to be.
Oh, so this we have them because we have grubs.
Right. So if you don't know, yeah, for our listeners, the Japanese garden beetle is one of those big, white, thick grubs that are in the lawn that do your spring and fall damage. And so they cut the roots from underneath the soil.
Right.
And then they burrow down. They come back out in the spring.
Such a tiny thing to become like from a grub to a tiny
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like the size of a school, like those classic school erasers, right?
Yeah.
And then you get this half-sized little beetle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Nature never fails to amaze me.
Never. She's always got a mystery.
I know. So that really ties us into. We've got a few questions about what's happening in July in the garden, and some of that stuff we talked about at the opening. We're going to talk about some more right after the break. So why don't you hang in there, and we will be right back to talk about what's going on and what to do in our July gardens. We are listening to Down the Garden Path here on Reality Radio 101. We'll be right back.
Are you wondering why your life isn't moving in the direction that you want it to? Do you ever hear yourself saying, "It's like I'm running into walls," or "My money flows out as quickly as it comes in"? Until about 9 years ago, I used to hear myself say those exact words. I could never figure out what was causing these problems or how to fix them. Well, that's until I started to learn about feng shui and how by applying the principles of it to my home or my office, I could in fact help fix those problems and have my life run smoother. Wow. When you book a feng shui consultation with us at Your Spiritual Connection, we will help you to figure out why things aren't working out in your favor, and we will offer simple solutions to help correct the problems, which will in turn help your life to run smoother.
Contact Trish John of Your Spiritual Connection at 905-391-8801 to book your feng shui consultation today. For more information on any of our upcoming events and workshops, please visit our website at www.yourspiritualconnection.ca. Your Spiritual Connection, helping you to make the connections in your life.
Looking for a quick, easy to apply, an all-natural fertilizer to use in your vegetable and flower gardens or for your fruit trees? Why not work with Mother Nature? Layer hand manure is a terrific fertilizer, and this is what Actisol does by transforming the manure from their egg farms into an efficient fertilizer. The manure is dried using a technology that harnesses the heat given off by the hands. No other heat source is needed. Actisol is easy to use, safe for the environment, children, and pets. You can purchase Actisol products at your local garden center or order in bulk. For more information, visit www.acti-sol.ca. Actisol, the mother hen fertilizer.
The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised. Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your hosts, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact us live by telephone, dial 905-725-1907. Toll free anywhere in North America, 1-866-905-7325. Send us an email, instudio101@gmail.com. I can't feel you there. Become so tired. So much more aware. I'm becoming this. And now, right back to Down the Garden Path and Matthew Dressing singing in the Studio 1A. Matthew and Joanne Shaw.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Down the Garden Path on Reality Radio.
I take it you're a fan of Linkin Park. Right?
I am a fan of Linkin Park. Just check it. No, that was a good song. So we're talking everything that we are going to be doing in our garden in our month of July show.
Yeah.
And we do have a couple questions that we mentioned just before the break. Peter asks, is it too late to grow vegetables? Can you still find plants to buy? And in my garden center, we can. We've got a number of larger already started tomatoes, cucumbers. There's even some cell pack tomatoes still. I'm not sure if you missed Peter, but I also mentioned at the beginning of the show, yeah, for sure, you can plant out your carrots and some radishes,
lettuces,
potatoes, mm-hmm. the quick cool season crops. I just planted some more potatoes.
But you didn't harvest your other ones?
No, my spring ones are still going.
Okay.
They're starting to get nice and bushy.
Okay, you need to post a picture.
I should post a picture. Yeah. I will remember to take a picture. I'll show you that little bag, too, where you
yes.
open the side
yeah.
and harvest them out. So
yeah.
Yeah, so I started another group.
Okay.
And they're just a few inches tall, but they'll be perfect for a late September harvest, as well as my colorful carrots.
So, oh, okay. Yeah, so the short answer, Peter, is no. Peter's there's lots of time still. There's a variety of different things. Things like, you know, pumpkins and squash, like things that need a longer season.
Yeah.
You probably don't have enough time, but there definitely is... and the garden centers are smart in that they are also selling, you know, in the spring they sell everything in little cell packs. And then this time of year they've wisened up and they know that we need a head start, and they're in bigger pots and, you know, 6-inch and 10-inch pots. So they're kind of got a bit of a head start.
Yeah. Even got some fruit on it already to go.
Yeah. So good luck.
Plenty of time.
Good luck. And Sue is writing in and she's asking about, is it a good time to prune? And that's what I wanted to talk about because yes, it is.
It is.
Evergreens especially, right? So I know I posted that picture of my Annabelle hydrangea on my yew hedge that needs some trimming. And so yew hedges, they don't have to be a hedge, yews, boxwood, cedars. Now, really July, we should really be done our pruning of those things in July, right? Mm-hmm. We really shouldn't be getting, because pruning encourages new growth.
Right.
So then now the shrub's going to have new growth in August. And we don't want to, if we pruned in August and September, then we'd be encouraging new growth as the temperatures cool.
Right, which can ultimately damage your plants.
Right. So July is a good time. So the first flush of new growth should have happened. And then you can kind of prune that up.
Yeah.
And cut everything back. And then it'll kind of fill in again a bit more in August. And then you should be good to go. So not just evergreens, though. It's a good time to do deciduous plants, too.
Yeah, you can do things like your lilacs if you haven't done them yet, making sure that you can prune out last year's flowers or this year's flowers.
Yes.
And get some good shaping in for next year's flowers. Your weigelia as well.
Yeah.
Right?
Those sometimes get, the burgundy ones especially, can get a little ratty.
Right.
And it's okay because you might even get a second flush of flowers.
Right.
So if you need to shape them, you need to kind of go in and prune. I always say prune out we don't want a whole bunch of balls.
No.
Right? when we're pruning our shrubs, we're not using hedge trimmers or anything like that. You're definitely using the hand pruner.
Yep.
And pruning out stems. And some stems you're just cutting a little shorter. Some stems you're going right inside the shrub and trimming right back, right?
Yeah.
To kind of encourage that new growth. Burning bush, tricky time to do it now.
Yeah.
So I would say that one's a little harder.
Mm-hmm.
Smoke bush, like I mentioned, my smoke bush. Any shrub that is good that way, that might be getting too big and taking up too much space. I ended up cutting mine because when I had planted it, of course, it was small and the stuff around it was small and now everything's grown.
Right.
So it was actually impeding and really shading out some peony, shading out at the bottom like quite a bit. But now it's gotten to be like almost 7 feet tall.
Right.
So I thought, you know what? I really needed to cut away the bottom section to let the light go to those plants. I still probably have to move some of those plants out in the fall. But it's okay. Now is a perfect time to do that. And as gardens fill in, you have to do that sometimes, right? Don't be afraid.
Maintenance pruning.
Yeah. And exactly. July is a great time.
For sure. Yeah, exactly. And we've had such wet, warm weather, right? So even just like you were saying, letting the light in, letting the air circulation come through.
Yes.
That'll also just, that light pruning will allow air and light to come through and discourage fungal diseases or insects from invading as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you might be benefiting the other, like you think you're hurting. Well, you're not hurting the plant that you're trimming back, but the other things around it might benefit as well.
Exactly.
You know, there's kind of a little domino effect.
Yeah.
Shall we say. So, yeah. So I think, I hope that answers your question, Sue. If there's something specific you want us to check about pruning or tell you about, we will answer your second question. But thank you for writing in. I really appreciate it. That's great. What else? July.
Yep. Don't forget, there are a number of perennials that we can be cutting back and preparing for, too. Salvia, for example, that getting that second flush of flowers, cutting it back to that set of leaves where you can see the next set coming through.
Mm-hmm.
Older foliage perennials, things like heucheras, or even the foliage of your echinacea, just cutting out some of the rattier, spent, exhausted-looking leaves will encourage some new ones just to kind of shape her up and look a little fresher going through the rest of the summer.
And it depends where you are, too, because I know my echinacea are just really coming in.
Yes.
But if you've been, you know, if you have been lucky enough to have that, say, it been blooming, my cousin texted me and asked, because hers is full of blooms about a week and a half ago, and she asked, could she cut them and bring them in the house and put them in water? Because she had so many. And I'm looking outside at my sad, you know, buds on mine with nothing really coming. So everybody's garden's a little different too, right?
Well, certainly.
And I'm sure listeners, we're talking about our hydrangeas not blooming yet, or my quick fire and my limelights, and maybe you're in an area where they totally are blooming. So please bear with us. We'd love to hear what other issues you're having in the garden. So I think it's a nice time in some ways to kind of step back and enjoy the garden.
Yep.
I always think it's a good time to photograph your garden.
Yes. Most certainly.
Yeah. Someone I follow on Instagram, I think he had a birthday this past few days. And so he said that's one thing he does on his birthday every year is photograph his garden because that's his yearly, you know, reminder of what it looks like and what changes he wants to make and that kind of thing. So I thought that was a really neat thing. So if you have a big date or just remembering to do it in July.
Yeah.
I can't say that enough. It's so nice to be able to look back and go, oh, that's what died, or oh, I really need to now. When I look at it, because sometimes you look at it in person and it looks okay, and then in a picture you're like, oh, that's really not. That's really in the way, or that's really taking over.
Right. Look how much that has grown.
Yes. Definitely.
I always like the idea of starting like a gardening journal, and collecting those pictures and plant tags, and just kind of documenting that journey. It's so exciting.
Yes, it seems good in theory, but
exactly.
Who's the time for that?
I'm actually in the garden doing that.
Yes. Oh, great. Another question from Teresa. Ah, that's another good question.
Yeah. Teresa asks, what time of the year and how often can you divide perennials?
Very good.
So irises are one of the ones that you can start doing right now. You can dig up your irises and a sharp spade and start moving those around as well. We were doing some dividing of a grass, my friend and I.
Okay.
Some cool season grasses we were splitting and moving them around. And
Carl Forsters?
We didn't have any Carl Forsters.
Okay. Oh, cool season ones.
Yeah, I was trying to think.
It's okay.
I forget the name of it. Northern Lights something, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think you can do it anytime. So it's just a situation where you're moving and you want to take some plants with you.
Yeah.
I mean, you technically can do dividing perennials pretty much anytime.
Yeah.
But they do better, I think, in the fall. That's my preferred time to do it.
Yeah, I agree. I like
because
the
then fall. They hit the ground running in the spring.
Exactly. They got a nice cool, but you know, relaxed season. There's no real environmental stresses.
Yes.
Water is plentiful. It's just easy for them to settle back in, heal, and take the winter.
Yes.
And then they open to and do another thing. Like you said, in spring, they have very much similar environmental conditions.
Yeah.
But they've settled in. They're going to give you some nice new growth. So, yeah.
Yeah. So if you can hold off, Teresa, until the fall, if not, I mean, there's no harm. Like I think of hostas.
Yeah.
They tend to be, if you divide them now, they're going to be a little leggy. They're still going to grow. It's hard to kill a hosta.
Oh, yeah.
It's still going to divide fine. Same with the ornamental grasses. You know, they can get a little leggy, but.
The better one was for the ornamental grasses was earlier in the year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we were doing it off a little, but for sure, you can definitely do it.
Yeah.
We used to move our bleeding hearts. We have this big, big clump, and then she'd kind of start to go dormant.
Right.
So we'd take them around and, you know, fill in little fence spaces there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how often? I think it just depends on the plant, because I think some are pretty, the more you divide it, the more it wants to be divided, I think. Sometimes like the Stella Dora daylilies, I think once you start dividing that.
Yeah, they're very.
You know, it's just like making more. So I think it really depends on the plant and on the space that you have. So hope that helps you. Thank you very much for the question. So yes. What else do we have? I know I'm like, after we're going from questions to transitioning back to what else is happening. Perennials, definitely cutting back the salvia, you know, and I'm trying to think of other things. Even the peonies, like I think sometimes people don't realize when the peony finishes flowering, it's okay to go in, tree peonies too, like to go in and to cut those seed heads off.
Yes.
Because they look kind of odd. Yeah. And
just a nice general deadheading. In general, but especially if you're trying to establish a plant, right? The plant's giving energy to these seeds. And if you don't want those seeds, you're not going to do anything.
Right.
It's better spent growing or establishing or fattening up.
Yes. For sure. There's the horticulturalist answer right there.
Yeah.
I'm like, it just doesn't look good. But you're like, okay, it doesn't need to waste its energy.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a good point. So those are things that you can do. How are about people coming in to talk about mildews? Anybody touch wood? No mildew on my peonies.
Yeah, you know what? Peony mildew had last year for me. It was a big issue in our area,
which is so shocking considering it was so dry. I don't understand.
Yeah, no, and this year's so wet. I think I've had one person come in with peony mildew on their powdery mildew on their peony. One. And it was maybe two leaves of this massive established plant. So, yeah, it hasn't really been a big issue for the peonies this year.
Good.
Yeah, the roses this year are especially being hit from, you know, the garden center from what I'm seeing.
Right.
Lots of black spot.
Okay.
It's just...
Even that, because I only want to deal with the tough ones that don't get black spot.
Yeah, even things like the Oh So Easy and the Knockout Roses, really? They're starting to show just a touch.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the Oh So Easy's group a little bit more so mm-hmm. than the Knockouts, but just a sliver. Yep, they're starting.
Okay.
So, and those are really good varieties. Mm-hmm. They're really resistant, mm-hmm. especially that Knockout. So,
and Nine Bark.
Yeah, you know what? I haven't seen much of that yet either. Even we always get a little bit of it because we have our plants in rows, right? So mm-hmm. that foliage that's somewhat just touching or shaded right at the bottom usually will get a touch, and it's not really starting just yet.
Oh, okay.
So.
That's good to
know. Now, as I say that, I'm going to go back. And
it could be because it has been windy. Like, air has been, I mean, as damp as it's been,
right.
we have had pretty gusty winds. So things are still being circulated, right? So it's kind of a two-part thing, the mildew. It's not just...
Yeah, it's not just wet. You're right. They need that stagnant air to start to grow and that humidity trapped. And you're very right. Yep, that wind definitely helps.
Yeah, and that could have been why, because last year... was so dry.
So dry.
No,
no
wind. Like, no wind, nothing. Like, there was no reprieve.
Yeah. And I still find a lot of people like to water their leaves, especially in the summer. Oh, it's so dry looking. She needs some help.
Oh, no.
Just the bottom.
Just the pot. Just the feet.
Just the feet, exactly.
Yes, even trees. I see people watering the city trees. I know. I know. Actually, you can also, we'll talk about me for another minute. back to me. I have two London plane, my ash trees are gone and I chose two London plane trees to be replaced.
Nice.
Very nice. One is got like, one is, they're both growing really well. I'm so impressed by how much they've grown compared to my neighbors who got the Ivory Silk Lilac and the service berries. Like, I'm like, woohoo, my trees are growing really well. But one of mine have white, it looks like mildew, but it's kind of, it's almost reminds me like the mildew version of tar spot. Like, they're in circles, but it's white, but not the other one.
Ooh, yeah. So that fungus or whatever has come in.
Okay.
It's just kind of come in on that side and it's probably just started there, but.
Okay. So nothing, it's nothing to do at this time of year for it.
No, nothing specifically that I'm aware of. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Just one of those conditions and she starts to go.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's in the open, like it's a city tree, you know, it's not like it's good. In my backyard corner or anything.
Right. Yeah. Good air circulation, lots of sun. Yeah.
Yeah.
And nice that you planted the London plane trees, I find.
Well, I was pretty concerned because I'm a corner and I had three ash trees.
Right.
Right. So two at the front, my front of my house is, my front door faces one side of the corner. My driveway faces the other side of the corner. So I was pretty positive I wanted those two trees on either side of my front door to be the same.
Right, yeah.
And I also did not want a maple tree.
No.
So when I saw them coming around with the spray painting and stuff, I called the city and I'm like, I thought I could get a say. And they said, well, you know, you can get a say of these five choices. So, yeah. So the one by the driveway is a ginkgo, which is fine. It's slower growing and it'll be lovely one of these days.
Yeah.
After I'm long gone. But it'll be lovely. An amazing tree. But, yes, I'm lucky. I got those. Yeah.
Nice.
Yes. But I didn't. Because then when I saw that it might not be healthy, then I kind of got that panic attack because I'm like, if I lose that, then like my whole look is gone, right? Because then I'm going to have like a Q-tip again. So, yes, so I'm not going to go there. I'll have to move if the tree goes out of there.
The whole garden.
Yes. So we have another question.
Yes. Sorry if I pronounce it incorrectly. Yola, I'm going to guess. She's asking, is it okay now to bring my house plants outside? And she is also like us living here in Ontario. And yes, you most certainly can. House plants, a couple of things there. Their tropical winter, kind of, especially in the spring, is 16 degrees Celsius. So just slowly weaning them out like you're hardening off seedlings until you get up to that 16. So if it's 16 during the day and 8 degrees at night, you want to bring them in just to be safe. And then lastly, and more importantly, just make sure that you don't put them out directly into full sun right away. Even the tropicals grown in that we get up, shipped up from Florida in the greenhouse, they're all grown under shade cloths. So if you see the tropicals in places with little kind of brown freckles all of them, that has been something that's been had a lot more sun during its growth. Okay. So they're little sunspots. So if you put it out into full sun, you may end up just bleaching your upper leaves or most of the leaves. So give it a week with morning sun only. Protect it from about 10:30 to 2:30 from the most intense sun. And then give it late afternoon, evening sun. Do that for about a week, week and a half. And then you can put her out. She should be adapted. And
even in the full sun?
Yep. And then she'll thicken up her leaves a bit as she gets more sun.
Okay.
And then you can put her out into the full sun and pretty much eliminate all the sunspot and tanning, bleaching issue.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then just feeding them again like you would your outdoor plants. Just every 2 weeks, make sure she's got an appropriate fertilizer.
Okay. And but house plants, so don't switch to, don't water them with what, or fertilize them with what you're fertilizing your outside containers with. Right? Don't you stay with a...
Yeah.
Or just a basic 2020-20?
More, yeah. Like a 2020-20 or a house plant specific fertilizer. I like the and use the Schultz 10-15-10 house plant fertilizer personally.
Okay.
Or 2020-20 if
yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that question, Yola.
Thank you.
Great. And we have a new listener, Betsy. Thank you very much for... I'm glad you're welcome and I'm glad you're enjoying the show.
Yeah.
So lots is happening, obviously, in the July. You kind of think, I think in the past, I think, like I said, you want to just sit back and relax and enjoy your garden.
Yeah.
And you can, absolutely. But I think now there's time. There is still some stuff to do.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's as stressful, as intensive as it was in the spring.
Right. Yeah. Right? There's lots of stuff and activities to just even start, like vegetables.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, why don't we pause for another commercial break? Excellent. Thank you. We're going to be right back here on Down the Garden Path on Reality Radio 101.
I hope you're doing fine out there without me. 'Cause I'm not doing so good.
Are you wondering why your life isn't moving in the direction that you want it to? Do you ever hear yourself saying, "It's like I'm running into walls," or "My money flows out as quickly as it comes in"? Until about 9 years ago, I used to hear myself say those exact words. I could never figure out what was causing these problems or how to fix them. Well, that's until I started to learn about feng shui and how by applying the principles of it to my home or my office, I could in fact help fix those problems and have my life run smoother. Wow. When you book a feng shui consultation with us at Your Spiritual Connection, we will help you to figure out why things aren't working out in your favor, and we will offer simple solutions to help correct the problems, which will in turn help your life to run smoother.
Contact Trish John of Your Spiritual Connection at 905-391-8801. To book your feng shui consultation today. For more information on any of our upcoming events and workshops, please visit our website at www.yourspiritualconnection.ca. Your Spiritual Connection, helping you to make the connections in your life.
My name is Mike McNairn. I'm the manager of Universal Field Supplies. Universal Field Supplies specializes in products that are used by arborists. They're professional quality tools that guys that use them every day need to rely on. So they tend to be higher quality than what's found in big box stores. The Universal Field Supplies product could be used by anybody that has trees and likes to look after trees. We've all been to school for forestry or arboriculture, and we have many years of experience. We would be happy to answer any questions people have and actually ask questions of them and find out exactly what their needs are and determine what product would suit them the best. Don't hesitate to call. Here's how to reach us. Call 1-800-387-4940 or email at info@ufsupplies.com. See you soon.
Universal Field Supplies has stores in Mississauga, Ontario, and Port Coquitlam in British Columbia. Learn more at universalfieldsupplies.com.
When I need you, I just close my eyes and I'm with you.
Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your hosts Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing. Right here on Reality Radio 101. Send us an email with your questions. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com.
I never knew there was so.
Don't be sad. These folks are here to help you in your plants. Send them an email right now, instudio101@gmail.com. And now, right back to Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing. Sorry about that.
No, it's the perfect time for Matthew to sneeze. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, the music I listen to traditionally in my band is hard rock. It's hard. Yes. It's not metal. It's hard rock. But a lot of these CD things that we play for our intro and outro music are random play. So I hit the button.
And I know what you're going to get.
You don't know what you're going to get. You know it's on the disc, and you're hoping, please, please, you know. So
yes.
I should be targeting more music for certain shows. Like if you guys say, you know, we really like harder rock, that should be your intro and outro music,
okay. Right?
So just to let people know, don't fall asleep. There's a lot of information here yet on Down the Garden Path.
Yes. And you said you were out in your garden?
I started, as you know, little bit by little, a lot of weeding yet. There's going to be a lot of trimming, a lot of edging. I just haven't had the time, but I put a few hours in last week, so it's starting to come.
Good.
A lot of dead stuff I got to get rid of, and I'll get there.
Yeah.
I'll get there by October.
It starts all over again.
So.
That is one thing that is growing with abundance is the weeds, right?
Unbelievably so.
Yeah. And I think that's an important thing to really get on top of, especially I'm noticing that crabgrass seems to be earlier this year.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't know why.
I'm not sure either. It just kind of is.
And I think it's important to, it's one of those to pull it out. I know I've written, if you can check the blog, I've written an article about crabgrass, but to pull it out before it goes to seed. So it's definitely out there, but it's not to seed yet. So now is the perfect time to get it out.
Right.
Right? Because then that is it's a perennial seed, right? Because it comes up next year.
Right. But the grass itself is an annual. You're right.
Right.
Yeah. And it is a smaller grass. So it is probably just a cooler season grass. We kind of see more of it closer to the end of the season.
Yes.
So... Yeah, probably just the cool again.
Yeah, definitely. I've written a lot of articles about weeds. So I've written an article about crabgrass as well as dog strangling vine.
Yes.
So those are two also. And garlic mustard is a little trickier now because it's finished the flower.
Mm-hmm.
So it's harder unless you know what the foliage looks like. It's harder, but it's equally important to get it out. But definitely dog strangling vine before those little seed pods, they look like green pea pods, before they open and release like thousands and tens of thousands of seeds. Pulling that out, digging that out, and actually putting them in the garbage, not in the compost.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, dog strangling vine should probably go in the compost. Not go in the compost. Sorry.
Back up.
Rewind. Edit that out. Not go in the compost, don't you think?
Agreed. Yeah. You just want to get rid of that really quick. Most certainly. Yep. Throw it out always. And like all your diseased stuff as well. If you ever have any diseased leaves or things, you know.
Yes.
Throwing them out, not composting them.
Yeah. That would be a good guess to have on somebody from our city to find out what happens to those compost bags. And
we will find someone.
Yeah, because that would be a great, great topic to kind of really get to the bottom of that. Yes, write that down. So that, I think that would be good to know. And things that are especially invasive, because I think the compost can get that hot that it would really destroy those seeds. So that's good to know.
I think we tend to have smaller compost piles that we don't get that large area of that 125 degrees Celsius.
Well, I'm talking about the city stuff certainly in your home, definitely do not compost it.
Yeah.
And what I don't even think you should put it in the brown bags. Like, I think it should it should just go in the black, in the garbage bag.
Throw it in the garbage and you know that it's gone. Yeah, and I was saying more like the homeowner can't reach that level, but the city surely probably could. But we'll find out. We're going to ask someone and we'll see what we're going to do.
There we go. How's that for a topic?
That's a great topic.
Excellent. Excellent. So I also wanted to mention for our new listeners, I have almost caught up to our past shows being on the website. So May and some of June is up there. And so I have a couple more to do. But so.
And is that website where you can find all of Down the Garden Path's past shows? The same place that you can find those fantastic articles you wrote about those weeds?
It is, yes.
And that website might be.
Yes. So downtoearth.ca with the number 2 is my website. All my social media links are there, as well as if you go to the blog section of the website, you will see. And on the right hand side, you can just screen out and go to all past radio shows, or you can look at all the different articles that I've written over the last number of years, depending on what you're looking for.
Yeah.
So yes. So please check that out. Please chat with us. Let us know what type of shows, what you're interested in hearing about.
Yeah.
What type of guests. We are always open to looking for new ideas, right? Because there's so much to talk about.
So much to talk about.
I know. And we never know, you know, what everybody's interested in.
Right.
So.
What are you interested in? What's on your mind?
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
And don't forget to sign up to Joanne's Down to Earth monthly newsletter.
That's right. Right. It's the same name as the show. Actually, it's Down the Garden,
Down
Path.
The Garden Path.
Yes, my newsletter
that
I do monthly. So, yes. Yeah, so, please also sign up for that. And if you follow on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, you'll see when that comes out as well. It did come out to beginning of July, July's newsletter. Yeah, and you missed last week's recap on The Fling. So you're going to have to listen to that show.
I'm going to have to listen to myself.
Yes.
I'm going to have to log on.
That's right.
Listen.
So it's been great. So I did suggest that people follow the hashtag GBFling2017. And because all my fellow bloggers have still been crazy posting pictures and articles and things like that from our visit. And it still amazes me how so many people can visit one garden, the same garden, but see so many different things.
Yeah, everyone's different, unique, cool perspective.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Anything else going on in your neck of the woods?
Not really.
No, you're good.
No. Like you, I have to prune a yew hedge. Mm. I've got one at my grandmother's. I have a little garden I do there. So
yes.
Yeah, I've got
and you use? Are you going to use hedge trimmers, or are you going to do hand?
I've got a pretty good number of linear feet to do, so I will probably just do a light shearing with an electric shearer. But
okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. they just freak me out. I've done it in the past because I have quite a bit too. And I have some ewes that I need to replace. So I've got a little section where I need to replace. Yeah, from too much salt 2 years ago. So I was hoping it would come back, but it hasn't. So that's part of my garden rejuvenation. So of my transition, which I'm also posting pictures of as well. So follow along if you're curious as to see what I'm up to.
Well, because you said earlier you have two spots you were like are kind of under construction.
Yeah. I mean, I blogged before, and past listeners knew that in the fall, and I don't know if you knew about this, I had a whole section. I kind of was so fed up with the grass last year. This could be a whole other show. I'm going to look at the time. So watering the grass, that grass wasn't growing. And why am I wasting so much time and effort on watering grass? So I covered it. I had Evelyn Haddon on, Hellstrip Gardening. She's written that book.
Yes.
And she was a great interviewee, I guess. And so recommended, one of the things she recommends is to cover this grass with cardboard and mulch, and it takes about six or 7 months for that to really need to be a really thick layer. You could do lasagna and you could do cardboard mulch compost lasagna, a cardboard, and you can kind of do that method if you wanted to. I just went with straight cardboard and then about good 5 inches of mulch, and my husband and son helped me out, and so now it's cooked. It's kind of, it survived the winter. I was so shocked at how well it survived the winter. The salt didn't damage it. The snowplows didn't damage it. The runoff, all the rain, nothing runoff.
Nice, wow.
Squirrels dug around a little bit. Even weeds didn't, you know, were pretty good. I used some pickling vinegar in a few spots.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm it's ready for planting. I just have no time. but I'm thinking, like, I'm really anxious to kind of, because I'm tired of looking at the mulch, and I'm sure all my neighbors are tired of looking at the mulch. So I'm trying to come up with a bit of a plan. My great landscapes start with a plan. I'm trying to force myself to not be an impulsive shopper and go to the store and just buy things. So so I am working on a plan, and kind of going to do it in little sections. And also at my front door, I had three barberry bushes that I shouldn't have put in there. And with my city trees being removed, they got way bigger.
Right.
Than the, kind of like the part sun kind of kept them under control. And now that they were getting full sun, they were huge. And on two sides of the walkway. So it's not something you could keep pruning back, right?
Oh,
they're really hard to prune. So I had them taken out a few weeks ago. And now I want something of impact at my front door. So I haven't figured out yet what that's going to be.
So will be very interesting to follow.
Yes, definitely. So if you want to, it's much harder to design for yourself than it is for other people.
How does the landscape designer design her own yard?
Yes, for sure. I posted a post about that on Instagram. So I did also want to give out a shout out to, have you heard about the Buffalo Garden Walk?
I have not.
Ah, no. So we had Jim on the show last year. This year, I think it's a little earlier. So it's this weekend. It's July 29th and 30th, and it's free. And it's, it's very cool. So the whole 400 plus creative urban gardens in Buffalo and some of the friendliest gardeners you'll ever meet. So it's free. It's self-guided. You just need to, you can download a map, a free PDF map from their website. Look them up on social media as well. So Buffalo Garden Walk. And you can drop by. The headquarters will have a map, but only the day of the tour. So you can definitely get that ahead of time. And definitely put that in your plan. So they've really undergone this beautification, and the whole community has really come together. And it's been going on for a long time, but they've really grown to be over 400. And a lot of artisans, a lot of stuff is happening because of that.
Right.
And so it's kind of exciting. So I know we've had, I'll have to repost the Jim recapping it last year's, not recapping, promoting last year's walk. And I almost wanted to text him today and give him a short notice to say, can you come on and plug this year's? But I thought I'll plug it for him. But maybe we can see what we can do for next week and he can tell us about it. But so I mean, I'm dying to go. I still thought it was the fall. It's normally been the August long weekend.
Oh, okay. Civic holiday. Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought it was then. So I'm actually away that 29th and 30th. So in my head, I was going.
Right.
Until I put this in my notes and
then you're
not.
Oh, wait a minute.
So if you've been or if you're planning to go, I'd love to hear from you. Yeah, so it's definitely something worth, I think it's worth the drive to Buffalo.
Most certainly. It's worth the drive to Acton. It's really neat how that kind of gardening can really draw in the community into one spot, all the different aspects to come together.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But it's a huge tourism draw, too. Like, so something that, so it's got twofold, right?
So
it's a community beautification, community spirit, as well as now it's a huge tourist draw.
Right.
So even though the garden tour itself is free, you know, you're staying there, you're eating there, you're shopping there. So they say that is a huge, I forget the percentages are, but garden tourism is pretty impressive. So we did it. We have another show. I hope you enjoyed and we found that our month in the July episode helpful.
Yes, we hope you found it helpful. There's still lots of things to do out in that garden.
So what's the August show going to be now? Relax in the garden?
Yeah. Grab your drinks and lawn chairs. And
That's right. So thank you very much, everyone, for listening to us once again and joining us down the garden path. Thank you.
Thank you, Joanne. And thanks for everybody who wrote in and everyone who's at home listening this evening.
Excellent. We will see you next week.
See you next week.
Here on Reality Radio 101.
you for listening to Down the Garden Path with your hosts Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing, right here on Reality Radio 101.